From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man, your husband, your co-host, Keith Funderburk.
Anything else?
Oh, well, of course, Dr. Funderburk, I try to give you a name for each week, and you know, this particular week, this is something that might sound a little familiar to you. I want you to call me Dr. McRuff.
Dr. McRuff?
Yeah, McRuff.
Okay, what in the world is that?
See, Dr. McRuff is this fictional character that I had when growing up because I thought about being a doctor. And my fictional character was called Dr. McRuff.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
Yeah, of course. Ruff, ruff, you know. But you know how it is, you know, you got, you know, you have dolls and all that kind of thing, and but you know, I didn't have like a doll, but I had, you know, I had a dog.
Oh my goodness.
You know, you got a doctor on your dogs. And...
Okay. So you're trying to be like a stuffin, a McStuffin.
Yeah, like a okay. There you go. But okay. It's, instead of a McStuffin.
It's a McRuff.
It's a McRuff.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
Man, that was good stuff.
Moving on. But it does relate. It does relate, I mean, definitely.
But it does, though. You know, hey, this is, you know, but really, though, seriously, you know, when you grow up, you know, oftentimes people are going to say, hey, you know, do you want to be a police officer, a lawyer, a doctor? It's only like two or three things. And, of course, I don't know why people always ask young ladies, do you want to be a teacher? You know, it's like only like four or five professions that kids can aspire to.
Yeah, and sometimes I think in what we're going to talk about today, I think some kids may aspire to this, but then they, for whatever reason, you know, let this kind of fall out of their brains. And so today we have with us Dr. Tiffany Randolph, and she is a cardiologist here in Greensboro, but she is also working to lead a charge that will bring young men and women, young girls and boys to careers in medicine. And we're definitely trying to expose our black and brown young men and women to careers in medicine because the stats are fairly low on how many of us decide to enter medicine. So first of all, let's just bring on our guest, Dr. Randolph. How you living?
Hello to the Funderburks. I'm living well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, we are having, or excuse me, you and your fearless leadership and the team that's working with you, there's a summit that's happening. What's the name of this summit?
Yes, this is the third annual White Coat Summit, and we are really excited to sponsor this. I, along with several other black physicians working here in Greensboro, founded an organization called the Foundation for the Development of Minority Physicians. And it is for exactly the reasons that you said. The number of black Americans in careers in medicine is sadly low number. And we are really hoping to inspire the next generation of doctors so that they can see themselves in this career and that they can know from a young age what it takes in order to be successful on that path.
And I think sometimes just seeing that there actually are black doctors out there who are out there doing it and doing it well, that is really inspirational and aspirational for a lot of our youth out there. Sometimes you just got to see it.
Dr. Randolph, let me ask you this question. You know, when you were growing up, did you see a lot of black doctors?
I can't say that I saw a lot, but my parents were very intentional about exposing me to black physicians. I remember my mom's OBGYN was a black woman, and my pediatrician was a black man. So that certainly didn't make up the majority of physicians that I knew, but mm-hmm. I did from a young age see that it was a possibility and didn't see it as an anomaly.
Good.
You know, because I was I'm thinking about when I was growing up right here in the Greensboro area, I saw only a handful of black physicians. I know my dentist, he was a black physician, but he was the only one that I saw. And so it's like just the exposure of seeing black physicians and that will only allow a young person, man, I can see this person. Maybe I can do it, you know. So that's, yeah. I mean, I'm just so excited just to hear about this white coat. What does the white coat, I mean, I often wondered when doctors wear these white coat, what is it about the white coat? Is it a symbolism behind that, by the way?
Well, there is a lot of symbolism behind the white coat. You know, when we go to medical school, the first thing, some schools do it differently. Some people have a white coat ceremony when you come in as a first year student. Some have a white coat ceremony when they begin their clinical rotations as third year students. But either way, it's a sort of a symbolic entrance into a career in medicine. I mean, of course, the white coat technically serves to help keep your clothes dirty when you're clean, rather when you're taking care of patients in what can otherwise be messy situations. But more than that, honestly, I think it just symbolizes the profession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, when is this White Coat Summit?
The summit will be on Sunday, March 16th in the afternoon from 1 to 5 p.m. And we are so thankful for our partnership with North Carolina Agriculture and Technical State University for once again agreeing to host us for this summit. And not only host us, but they are integral into our success each year because so many of their students not only participate as learners, but also help with escorting our students across the campus and serving as ambassadors, which in and of itself is just another level of celebration of Black excellence mm-hmm. and allowing the students to see themselves in different steps along the path to becoming a doctor.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So you've kind of leaned into it just a little bit, but will you give a little more specific information on who actually can participate?
Absolutely. So this summit is a free, I'll repeat it, free.
Free.
For students who are in middle school, high school, and college. And we would love to have people who, even if you don't know that you want to be a doctor or a dentist, because we will have representation from both specialties, come mm-hmm. and just learn more about what we do. There will be lots of hands-on activities for the students. So we'll have an opening keynote address from Dr. Damon Tweedy, who is a psychiatrist at Duke and who wrote the book Black Man in a White Coat, which is excellent if you haven't already read it, mm-hmm. which sort of chronicles his career trajectory from becoming a young man who ultimately went to medical school. But the summit is for students, and it's also for parents or guardians. There will be sessions for the parents to help them to better know how they can assist their children along this journey.
So that leads directly into another question, actually. What is it that parents can do to support and you know, prepare their child for a career in medicine?
Great question. One of the things that is just so foundational is encouraging them that there's no reason they can't do it. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. the world can beat our children down so much and telling mm-hmm. them what they can't do that it is really important for us as parents, as the village collectively, mm-hmm. to just encourage our children that they are smart, that they mm-hmm. are brilliant, even more than smart, and that they can do anything that they put their minds to, but that it will require hard work, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to encourage them to challenge themselves in their classes to make sure that they are on track with taking the right courses. And one thing I learned actually from one of our summits, I'm not sure if it was last year or the first year, mm-hmm. but one of the professors at North Carolina A&T was saying that by the time you're in middle school, it is really important to be on the right track as far as your math and science classes, mm. because If you are already falling behind by that levels, it is not impossible. It becomes much more difficult to stay on track with the prerequisites that will be required down the line. Mm. So, you know, sometimes people think, oh, it doesn't matter until I'm in high school. Well, if you're not already reading at an age-appropriate level, if you're not already taking the Math 1, as they call it here in Greensboro, the Guilford County Schools, it can be really challenging to get caught back up. So just supporting them, reminding them that they're brilliant, encouraging them to challenge themselves in classes and get help if they are struggling with their classes, and then really being an emotional support too, because there are times along this path where it can get trying, and you know, it's important to have your family to lean on and encourage you.
Oh, I definitely want to talk more about that in just a second.
Yeah, and again, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg, and we've got a real good friend. Her name is Dr. Tiffany Randolph, a local cardiologist. Man, let's talk about this for a moment. You know, I can remember, again, growing up as an African-American young man just right here in the Guilford County area. You know, number one, having the exposure is important. But then number two, just dealing with the mental health aspects, you know, around that whole emotional support. I think I want to dig a little deeper. You know, how can we help our young black men, you know, deal with, you know, looking beyond what they see on TV or what they may see in their neighborhoods, you know, because I know it's a lot that's there, you know, for, well, so what can we do, number one, to help really develop a positive mental, I guess, balance or something. I don't know how I can say it, but from both of your perspectives, you know, and again, I know both of y'all are doctors. You have different professions, but I mean, you had to buckle down. You know, how do we help our young men? And I guess I'm big on black young men, but what do you think, Dr. Randolph?
Well, I think one of the things that's so great about this summit, because there's something very powerful about seeing a room full of black men and women in their white coats all in one place, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see people from their 30s to their 80s standing in front of you, it becomes abundantly clear that people who look like you can do more than just rap or play sports. I have no knowledge of either one of those things. You know, I think it's important to be well-rounded, but I think sometimes our black youth get the message from looking at television that the only things that we can, our best path to greatness is to entertain. And when you look at the number of people, there's a cap on how many people are going to be successful, right, in those careers. But we have a lack of physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, everything in healthcare. So the only cap there is our own ability to keep up with our classwork and to be intentional about studying and not partying, reading and not staying on TikTok and Instagram, right? So if you want to look at your opportunity to make an impact on the community, to have a successful life to support you and your family, your odds are much better pursuing a career in medicine and dentistry than they are pursuing a career in the NBA or the NFL. And so I think things like this are so important so that those young men and women can see that, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities out there for you that, that are not just what you see on TV every day.
I think also it was eye-opening, I guess, to me when I recognized that the school that I went to has a vet school as well. So it's not a medical school, but it's a, well, it's veterinary medicine, I should say. And so that's NC State. That's where I got my doctorate. And there were one of my professors was also placed in that school to help students along with their mental health because the program was so rigorous. So there was a mental health clinician placed specifically in the vet school.
Wow.
To help students because of the rigor and because of, you know, the times that could be daunting and stressful. So there, you know, the counseling department or the counseling counseling center that was there on campus, and that was for the entire campus, but there was a mental health clinician specifically in the vet school, specifically for med school students. And I'm hearing that happen more and more. I've got some other students, other colleagues that have done that at other schools across the state. And it's definitely becoming a thing to have a mental health clinician right there with those students because of the rigor of the programs. Have you heard of things like that?
I don't know that I have seen it specifically for the pre-professional schools. I mean, I mm-hmm. know there's always mental health providers available, but accessing them, people don't always know that that resource is there. So I think it's excellent that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think along the path of training to careers like this, there are always classes that people consider kind of quote unquote weed out classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things like organic chemistry and physics and things like that. That certainly can be a challenge for most people. And sometimes when you're in it, you feel like you're the only one who's struggling with it. Well, actually, mm-hmm. probably 85% of the class is struggling with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be helpful to have a mental health provider or to have family and friends and things like that who could help encourage you and refocus you to realize that, you know, these are just stumbling blocks along the way, but you don't have to stay down. Even if you don't get a good score in one class, it doesn't mean that you're not meant to be a doctor or a dentist or whatever. You just got to find your way through, because mm-hmm. to be honest, now in what I do in cardiology, there's really not much organic chemistry or physics along the, you know, you just have to a lot of these times are just a test of how bad you want it, more so than an indication on how good you'll be in your career on the other side.
Well, let me ask you this question then, Dr. Randolph. As it relates to, you know, like the rigor of an individual. So, of course, you're a cardiologist, you're extremely popular right here in the area, very esteemed, very educated. You know, what kind of rigor, or how do you deal with the rigor of your day of being a cardiologist?
Well, you know, my work mm-hmm. now, most of what I do now becomes routine, right? Anytime you do something for a decade, it's not mm-hmm. always super challenging, like moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly new situations that come up or really sick patients that may be more challenging, but I don't want to, you know, my career in medicine for the most part is actually joyful, right? I enjoy what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets me out of bed and wants to come here every morning. The thing that I love right now is trying to figure out how we can get the majority of our population's blood pressure under control and sort of developing new strategies, new things that we can do across the health system to help our people. And so, you know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love that.
Right.
Now, I won't say that everything is perfect. It's certainly not. You know, the biggest challenge I have is finding balance, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm not just a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. I'm also a wife and a mm-hmm. mother and a daughter and a member of too many organizations,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just not so much the challenge of any one thing that I'm doing at a time, but it's about matching my passions, my talent, with the needs of my family first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes my work gets put above that in ways that I wish it didn't. So it's just mm-hmm. kind of a constant shuffling match of rearranging priorities, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes real good sense to me. Again, you are listening to How You Living, A Show About Life with the Thunderbirds. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Thunderbird, real good friend, Dr. Tiffany Randolph, a local cardiologist. So let's go back to for our young people when we talk about this White Coat Summit. What kind of extracurricular activities, you know, because I can imagine we want a well-rounded student. Are there particular types of clubs or types of teams or social activities that will help a young person to kind of have that balance? What do you think?
I think exactly what you started out with first is the most important thing, is well-rounded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of the things that you enjoy when you see a physician. yeah, you want them to be smart. You want them to know what they're doing. But by the time you get through medical school and take your board exams, pretty much everybody is smart and knows what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. You want somebody that you can actually talk to, that you're willing to confide in, and that you trust, and that you feel who actually cares about you and who doesn't just read books all day. What sets you apart in your medical school application or dental school application is if you do things that show that you care about more than just yourself. So if you are a part of, not be a jack of all trades and master of none, right? Mm-hmm. Be really embedded in a couple community service activities that you can really speak to and where you make an impact and things that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Arise to leadership roles. Don't be a member of 12 clubs. Be in two and be the secretary in one and the president in the other. That type of thing. Mm-hmm. To show that you are entrenched in what you're doing. Participate in your school's band. Be the drum major, right? Go to all county and all district in your band. Mm-hmm. Be in the debate team. Do whatever you do that brings you joy. Do that and excel in it on top of getting good grades, and you'll be well on the path.
I think that's a great way to explain the well-roundedness that is necessary to just, you know, kind of show that I can learn, you know, I can do well academically, but I can just do well as a human being too. Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember, one of the things that stuck out to me at the initial White Coat Summit was, I think it was one of our dentists. I'm trying to think of her name, Dr. Crisp. That's who it was.
Yeah, Rosalind Crisp.
Mm-hmm. Who is a great dentist here in the area. And she said there were two things, because she raised her children as a single parent, she said, to be dentists. Mm-hmm. And she said that her kids had to participate in a sport growing up, and they had to play an instrument. I thought that was really just like, wow, I was so glad to hear her say that. Just because of the discipline that it takes to move forward in those two areas, you know, you're going to have to practice. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to participate as a part of, especially in the athletic portion, you're going to participate as a part of a team. Possibly in the on the instrument, the music side, you're going to participate as part of a group, an ensemble, or a band, or the orchestra. I was in orchestra.
Oh, my goodness. Man, you were a nerd.
What'd you play?
Cello.
Oh, man. Super nerd.
Really? Okay. Nerds okay. Run the world.
Okay. All right. I love it.
That's what my dad says, Dr. Funderburg.
Thank you.
But you know what's really interesting? Yeah.
Funny is, we have the same rule for our kids, actually. And I'm thinking back as you say that, when you going back to your question about, you know, stress and mental health. Mm-hmm. And I feel like having those things to reach to and that are a part of who you are, mm-hmm. are so important when you do go through times of stress, because you will, in whatever career, mm-hmm. you know, reach times when you're stressed out. And if all you define yourself as yes. is a doctor
yes.
or a student or whatever, and you don't have other activities to ground you and to give you joy, you know, keep running along the way, keep mm-hmm. playing your instrument. All those things are really, really needed releases along your journey.
Yes.
Wow. This is so important. You know, I'm really thinking about right here in the Guilford County area. You know, we really are trying to encourage our young people, of course, both not just young men, but young ladies as well. You mm-hmm. know, growing up on the south side of Greensboro, you know, it's, I want you to recognize and know, just because I'm on the south side, or, you know, what they might call the hood, that doesn't mean I can't be a doctor, or I can't be a dentist, or I can't be a psychologist, or what have you. Mm-hmm. I can pursue it, and I can do what I want to do. If I've got the dream, I can achieve it. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just so important that we really expose our young people to greatness. At this particular event, again, they can get that type of exposure. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Randolph, and you know, we've got a couple more minutes here. How can the young people get involved, or is there
registration,
even though
it's free.
A website or a teacher or someone, what can they do?
So if you're a Guilford County School student, you should have been getting phone calls through, I think, Guilford Parent Academy. You should also have been getting, I know my children's principals have been sending out things via email about the event specifically. But if not, and we encourage anyone to come, you know, you don't have to be a Guilford County Schools. You can be private, homeschool, anything. You can go to our website, which is www.ffdomp.org. That's Foundation for the Development of Minority Physicians, FFDOMP.org. And on there, when you click on the events tab, you'll be able to register. You will also be able to, for our juniors and seniors, there is an opportunity to submit an essay, just 350 to 500 words, saying why you want to pursue a career in healthcare. And our winners will be given a special prize on the day of the event.
Oh, wow. I like that. And, you know, sometimes it's just about the participation in those types of things. You're thinking, oh, I'm not going to win. But sometimes events like that or activities like that, you know, it's like, just go ahead and participate. Just go ahead and submit your best effort and see what happens. Because sometimes I think kids just knock themselves out of something just because they think, oh, that's going to be hard. Oh, that's going to take up too much of my time. Or you could win a really nice prize.
And again, this is just not for young folk. I mean, this is for those that are in college, maybe freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year. In school, I mean, in college, they can participate in this particular event as well.
They can, yep. And caregivers, we will have sessions. We'll have local medical school representatives from financial aid and scholarship offices to give tips and tricks. We'll have heads of different academic departments giving presentations to helping us to figure out how we can best arm our students to be prepared.
Love it.
Yes, this is so great. So again, give us that website one more time if they want to learn more about the event.
Yes, it's ffdomp.org.
Okay, and that event is Sunday, March
16th.
March 16th, Sunday, March 16th at North Carolina A&T, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And it is free, you all. So you go to that. Make sure you go to that website and make sure I'm saying it right, Dr. Randolph, FFDOMP.org.
You got it right.
Okay.
And one more thing. Now, which particular hall or building is going to be in?
It is going to start at the Student Center.
Okay, the Student Center.
Beautiful Student Center that was built a few years back will be starting there. And then the actual smaller group sessions will be mostly held in Barnes Hall.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, you all, this is, I just love this event. And if I had to think about this event through the lens of mental health, I'm just thinking exposure. It's just the pure exposure of this that is going to help our students to move forward and decide, you know what? Yes, I can be a doctor because there are other people that I see who look like me who have done this as well. So as always, you all, we thank you so much for joining us right here on WNAA. And if you have any comments or questions, make sure that you're messaging us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Keith?
No. Aggie Pride.
Aggie Pride. And you know what? Join us next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You're Living with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.